Welcome to this week's episode of the Taiwan Century, presented by me, yours truly, the American Yank, and my brother from across the Atlantic, the Brit. What's good, my brother?
Hello, how's it going?
Not much, man. I'm excited. I'm going to Taiwan on April the 10th. I'm so excited about going back to my country.
Nice.
I was telling people, someone that we know, I asked this person, I said, when you go back to Taiwan, do you feel like your soul has returned home? And he said, oh, we Dutch people are not that spiritual. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm Buddhist. So that's the reason why I say that to you.
Nice. Well,
so
enjoy.
Yeah, I will. And when I'm in your hood, Tainan, I will ask you where to go to get some good food at, because Tainan is the capital of food in Taiwan, as everybody should know that.
That's right. What do you want to talk about this week?
The topic that has been on our minds for the past couple of weeks, isolationism in the Republican Party. This is a topic that we both want to discuss about. So you go first with it, my brother.
All right. Well, America's ebbed and flowed in isolationism since the 30s, right? You didn't want to involve in any of the European wars. Thankfully you did, or we'd all be speaking German. Not that there's anything wrong with German, I should say. We're all wonderful friends now over in Europe. But we might not be for long, because your potential next president doesn't really want to play a part of NATO or work with allies. He's just not interested in friends, and I'm always curious how that's going to affect Taiwan. What do you think?
You know what? This is hilarious to me, because a few hours ago, my dad asked me that same question. My father's not into Taiwan like I am, but he watches the news. He asked me, so what do you think about Trump leaving NATO? Would that give China the wrong impression that it can attack Taiwan?
Absolutely.
And I was like, you know what? To answer his question, it will give China that wrong message about, oh, you can attack Taiwan, because what Trump is doing is that he is signaling to everybody in the world that, hey, America needs to step back and focus on our economy, our domestic issues. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But at the same time, we are the United States of America. According to Ronald Reagan said that we are the shining light on top of a hill. I may be paraphrasing that, but that's what he said. And if you look at the GOP now, there is a big civil war between the Reagan Republicans, I apologize, and the Trump Republicans. Mm. And the Trump Republicans are currently winning right now because Trump's America First policy focused on broken borders, inflation, economy, and whatsoever.
It's actually quite a Democrat kind of thought, though, isn't it, to look inside than outside? Because Democrats aren't traditionally strong, outward-looking, hawkish people. So that's quite interesting to see. I don't really think he stands for anything except for himself.
I agree with that 100%. Trump is all about Trump. He's not about America's foreign policy 4 years down the road. Here's what people who like him don't understand about isolationism. American leadership is needed throughout the world. American leadership brings balance to the world and prevents countries like...
I mean, you've made the world in your image, so to say.
That is true, after World War II, especially after the Cold War.
Yeah, and I mean, we handed over the blue sheet of paper, where we basically voluntarily gave up the right as world police to America and said, look, we step back. This is basically your problem, and Christ, what a problem you've made of it. But I mean, the good thing about Trump, if I can say that, is he hasn't said he won't defend Taiwan. He's just not that interested in anything that's not about him. So he hasn't openly said, I'm not interested. Whilst it's it's the worst kept secret of the Republican Party that Trump didn't care about Taiwan. But he hasn't said he won't defend it, as opposed to Biden, who's openly said four times he will defend it. And I wonder if his policy is something to do with, well, that guy said something, so I should say the opposite. You know, populism tends to be that, rather than to actually have any kind of concrete plan.
That is a good thought. I didn't think about that until just now. Maybe Trump is saying this on the campaign trail, maybe to say, hey, I'm different from Biden. Here's what I'm saying differently. Because like you said, Trump never ever said that he won't defend Taiwan. He just won't say he will at this point. In interviews with whoever, Fox News or whoever, he sidestepped the question. He said, oh, I can't tell what the Chinese want to do, because that's bad, what's that called? Bad business move is what he described it as. But
yeah, I mean, I'm curious how much damage he can actually do in 4 years. And he isn't going away until he gets this. You know, part of me is like, let's just give him this and get him out of the way, and then we can get on with all being grown-ups. But, you know, I guess I'm not an American. I can't dismiss American voters. They must see something in him. I'm curious about his relationship with Lai. I almost think Lai might be rooting for Trump because it's a little bit of unpredictability, whereas he knows with Biden he's going to get the same thing of, we don't support Taiwan right. more than we do. We don't want change in the status quo. And right. I think Lai, I'm hoping, is slightly more hawkish in the sense of, well, let's use this as an opportunity. Let's all create some chaos, because what we're currently doing of really cautious approach, like the current president's approach, it had its use. Like, let's be cautious, step gently. It had a time and a place, and that time and place is gone now, and now it's time for something a bit stronger. So I'm wondering how that relationship will go. What do you think?
I think, to me, Lai Ching-de, he won't step on the line, if you get what I'm saying. He's going to be like Chai Ing-wen 2.0. Yes, because he kept saying on the campaign trail, I'm going to continue President Chai Ing-wen's policy on cross-strait relations and on international relations, particularly in U.S.-Taiwan relations. So I think it's going to be like Chai again. But I think secretly he's rooting for Trump, because Trump, if you look at the Trump administration years ago before Biden came in, I will argue with you, it was the strongest cabinet of pro-Taiwan supporters I've ever seen since Dwight Eisenhower in the 50s.
True. Yeah, very true.
And like I mentioned before, he had an NBA all-star team in his cabinet. Like, I'll say names again for you, to those who didn't hear earlier. He had Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley, Kelly Kroft, Matt Pottinger, and Randy Shaver, and John Bolton, too. I don't know if that was
famous
intent.
War Hawk.
Yes. A lot of people don't like him, but when it comes to Taiwan, he's always been a strong advocate for Taiwan. He's one of the few people back in the early 2000s who said, oh, we should establish diplomatic relations with Taiwan. One of the first people ever mentioned that.
Here's the thing, Drew. So, two questions. First of all, let's say America does decide to follow isolationism and retreat. Where are you going to put all them troops, man? Like, that's
Thank
a poor
you.
Business move. Don't see him doing that, because you're giving something away. And much like China, Trump cannot abide by giving something for nothing. And so I'm hoping his business sense will see him through. But my main question is, do you think either of them could ever accept again some kind of ROC instead of ROT? And I know we don't want an ROC, or some of us do and some of us don't, but it wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility to find some kind of acceptance for Taiwan. Maybe even it's some kind of federalized China, something that keeps the peace, some kind of negotiation. Because Trump was quite famous for trying to negotiate with Rocket Man, Kim Jong-un, I forget which one it is. Kim Jong-un. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he's going to try and pull some crap like that with China. Because I can't see him surrendering Taiwan out of the way. I know recently Trump was very much, well, they took all the chips, you know, we let them take all the chips, which isn't the case. Like, Taiwan is a foundry. They create chips other people give them the maps for, and America decided to surrender its ability to create anything. So a poor business planning shouldn't mean 23 million people should suffer because of that, but who knows? The man has his own views on things, I suppose. But I wonder if that's something he could do. What do you think? Do you think he'd be willing to step in and try and negotiate something like that? And do you think it would be a disaster?
Yes, it'll be a total disaster because all business people, I don't care if it's Elon Musk or him, they don't understand geopolitics very, very well. They think they know a lot because they are businessmen. They had a billion dollar company. They think that, oh, if I can run a business and have it become successful, then I can do the same thing with geopolitics. That's not the same. Geopolitics has so many uncertainties. So I think it'll go way, way down the drain if he were to decide to do that. But I don't think he would do so, because if he were to try something like that, even though Republicans are following his lead right now, but if there's anything that risk losing Taiwan, no matter if it's a federation with China or whatnot, the Republicans will bounce back on Trump, because on Capitol Hill, both Democrats and Republicans, they both have a consensus on Taiwan. Taiwan should remain free, should be away from Chinese hands. And if Trump were to do the opposite, he would get a total backlash from the GOP on Capitol Hill because of the strong support Taiwan enjoys in Washington. So I don't think he would do so, but I wouldn't be shocked if he did that, because he wants a deal. But you have to understand, dealing with China, it's not going to be ever a fair deal. Ask the Tibetans, ask the Hong Kongers, ask anybody that dealt with China, they will know that China is always going to try to, you know, mess over whoever they're dealing with.
Now, your former President Kennedy, was he a Democrat or Republican?
John F. Kennedy, he was a Democrat.
Oh, okay. What was he had a speech in the 60s. What was it? America promises to bear any burden. And that would kind of be backtracking on that, to turn back to isolationism. I mean, the world is made in your image, as I've previously said. You have troops all over the world, and these do great things for your allies too. I don't just think this comes down to a transactional thing of you're not paying enough. Maybe Trump isn't wrong with NATO not paying enough, but also NATO would have nothing to do with any incident in the South China Seas, because right. North Atlantic and the Pacific are two entirely different fronts. So, you know, I think that's going to be interesting. How do you think all of this is going to play out in Taiwan? Because I believe the vast majority of Taiwanese at one point were rooting for Trump after the phone call with Tsai. And didn't really come to much, but you were right that his cabinet of A-team, if you will, were on the ball. They were very much like, let's do this. And that's been absolutely fantastic. And hopefully, if Trump does become president, some of them come back. We shall see.
In Taiwan, you know, I'm always on Twitter, and I'm just looking at what they're saying on Twitter. They think Trump is a madman now because of what he's saying about Taiwan, about, like you said, about, oh, the Chinese people took our chips, or we should tax them, or some crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. I certainly think there's an argument to be said about Taiwanese needing to step up and do more to defend themselves, like American soldiers, British soldiers, Canadian soldiers, whatever, shouldn't have to defend an island where the people themselves are not necessarily willing to do so.
Right.
And I wonder if there's a cultural aspect there of, you know, a lot of Asia is very much once invaded, you just keep your head down and get on with it. And I could understand that point of view. I'm not wishing invasion on anyone, but I'm wondering if him mixed with Lai would perhaps maybe increase weapon sales, assuming America could bloody well make the weapons, because he could argue, okay, well, you sell us X, Y, and Z, and that helps us defend ourselves. We need America less. So maybe the Lai administration could weaponize that to their own advantage. What do you think about, what do you think about Biden's going to stand in his next campaign?
So Joe Biden, I got to give him credit here. He's partly responsible of making Taiwan an international issue, because no matter if it's G7 or 2+2 between America officials with their allies officials or whatnot, or the State of the Union, he always emphasized peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait. Before him, we didn't hear that much. We hear about the free Indo-Pacific in the Trump era, but him to actually said, this is a international consensus. We cannot have a war that goes on in the Taiwan Strait, because not only would it cost us the world $10 trillion, but it will also destroy microchips in Taiwan. And that's the reason why he's saying that. Let's be honest here. He's basically
the unsinkable aircraft carrier.
Yes,
chips.
There's
How are you going to build a nuclear carriers, man?
Yes, and the fact is that Taiwan almost had nukes, but if it wasn't for Zhang Xin-Yi, it would have been better. Like, I'm going to give you a... I'm going to tell you what happened a couple years ago. I went to an emerging leader program that FAPA was having back in 2022, a few years ago.
Is Formosan Association for Public Affairs. For listeners who don't know, it is a Washington, D.C.-based pro-Taiwan independence advocacy campaign.
There was a guy, his name was John something. I cannot pronounce his last name to save my life. If you go to the Taipei Times, his articles are always about doomsday with Taiwan.
That happens a lot.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Yes.
Got to sell that fear, man. Got to boost the career. So, could you just try helping Taiwan for once? No? All right. Fear, it's something. It's better than nothing. Sorry, as you were. I'm just being cynical.
He was saying that. If Taiwan had nuclear weapons, what they could do is that they could set one off in a Taiwan Strait, like a dummy bomb or something. I forgot the terminology that he uses, and Beijing would never invade Taiwan. I'm like, okay, why would Taiwan do that in a Taiwan Strait? That's just stupid. Like, why would he said that? I was like, wait a minute, how is that even possible? Why would you even do that? I guess what he was saying, that if Taiwan had nuclear weapons, then Beijing will not invade because the cost would be too high. Beijing to be nuked?
Be too high anyway, right? And that's
that's
been the wonderful thing about President Biden. He said four times, we will defend Taiwan. He's gone from strategic ambiguity towards strategic clarity, and hopefully that continues. Whilst a lot of his administration backtracked that relatively quickly, it's out there. It's in the public domain.
Yeah, it's in there. I mean,
it's made China think twice already. It does.
It's like, wait a minute, a president said that four times and he meant that. If he said it one time, okay, so you could say okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, whatever. But four times?
I mean, he's like, old.
Yeah, he's serious. Forgot. He probably has dementia. Whoopsie.
Four times.
But he said it with so conviction. He said, yeah, we'll defend Taiwan. Yeah, we defend Taiwan. I mean, he's the first president since George W. Bush to ever said that. Because remember, back in the day, before 9/11, I forgot. He said, I could defend Taiwan. He said, any means necessary. So he probably is the second president. Here's the funny thing about it. When Bush said that back in the day, Joe Biden wrote a article for the Washington Post, basically lecturing Bush about that. And then when Biden became president, he said the same thing that Bush said, but more
interesting. Political games, eh? So, as a non-American, I have to ask, who are you going to vote for, Neji? You don't have to answer that question.
I will answer that. I answer that, okay? This election is, I would dub this election.
Do you think your vote will help Taiwan too?
I'm getting to that. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what I told my good friend Janice in Cleveland. I am voting for her for president because I can't vote for neither of these men. I'm going to tell you why. I don't like Biden for domestic reasons. And I don't like Trump because he always talks bad about Taiwan in his interviews. Like, and then if you read the book by John Bolton, he compared Taiwan to a marker and compared China to a table, and that doesn't sit right with me. Even though his actions,
I mean, I'm sorry, I rudely cut you off there, but do you think that's why he started his kind of trade war campaign, because he wasn't getting any of the money?
Maybe he thought that China will buy. Yes. Here's what probably happens. Trump back in the day wanted China to buy like American agriculture. They want China to buy this lot of grain from the farmers and meats and whatnot. That way it could be sold to the Chinese market, but Beijing didn't fill that quota. So Trump, being like he is, he got mad. So you know what? I'm going to put these tariffs on you because you didn't do what we agreed to do behind closed doors. That's the reason why. You remember that trade deal that America China has? I think it's called the first stage. I forgot the name of it, but
it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter what it is, but China didn't do its part. So Trump was like, okay, I will put these tariffs on you, like I said before. And here's the crazy part. Trump said when he gets in office, he's going to put 60% of tariffs on China. I say, If you do that, good, do it. Because China's economy is already failing anyway, so might as well make it worse.
I think, here's a question for you then. What's the long-term plan? And I know this is more related to China than Taiwan, but what's the long-term plan for that country? Like, what do we want from that? I mean, I remember speaking to some people who told me he was talking to a Republican guy, and I don't remember their names, this was a long time ago. And the guy's response was, well, we'll just nuke them. You can't just nuke people, man.
Like, no,
that's not how this works.
No,
because
that's not how it
that's
works.
A nuclear-armed world power. Like, we need a feasible plan for peace. Here's another question for you then, Neji. You are, yes, on the political spectrum of Taiwan, you're a lot more green than I am.
Yes, I am.
I'm a pragmatist. You're an idealist.
Yes.
What if peace could be negotiated with two Chinas? So the ROC exists and the PRC exists. Could you accept that, or can you only accept an ROT, Republic of Taiwan?
I will speak from the two sides of my mouth. I want the ROT because ROC isn't Taiwan. However, sure. However, if keeping the ROC is with the Taiwanese public, and that is right now, and that Taiwan can be in the UN as the ROC, and that China will never attack Taiwan because of the name of the ROC, and that Taiwan will have its own embassy and anything like that, then I'll be on board with that. I know that goes against my green people, but if that's what the Taiwanese want, then I can't say anything. I can't say, oh, we need to do the ROT now. Here's, but I make a twist to that.
Okay.
Once they get to the UN as the ROC, then they can change the name to the ROT legally.
All right, you survived that trap.
Yes, say, okay, we'll go to the U.S. ROC again, but after a while, we're going to change A, because remember, if Taiwan's in the U.N., then Taiwan can change its constitution to the ROT. So yes, if you could get the ROC first to the U.N., then yes, because that, you can shed it off and be the ROT again. There you go.
There has been nothing stopping Taiwan change its constitution in the last 8 years, and they've just not done it.
I want them to do it, but I understand why they won't do it, because if they do that, State Department's going to say, oh, no, you changed the status quo. Change the status quo? China's doing.
Man. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I don't think... Look, I think there's a part of this where you can call America's bluff. You can say that, look,
yes,
we all know you're not going to let this island fall into Chinese hands, you know, because by the time the Chinese arrive, we'll have salted the earth anyway. There'll be nothing left for them. And it's not forcing America's hands, but it's finally time for Taiwanese to stand up for themselves. And maybe that will be an opportunity if Mr. Trump wins the presidency to say, okay, so we're doing this, because there's chaos on all sides, right? There's no way the Chinese are going to attack, because no one on the Trump side is going to say, oh, the Taiwanese are changing their constitution, we better not step in. Can you imagine? Even Biden wouldn't do that. He'd be like, well, we don't like this, but we're going to have to do something about it.
Yes, here's the thing. If you look at diplomatic words from the United States, they always say we don't support Taiwanese independence. Remember, support and oppose are two different things.
Yeah, didn't Biden say something along the lines of, it doesn't matter, this is for the Taiwanese to decide, you know, we'll just leave it
yes.
to them. So that,
yeah, that's
right,
what
that,
he said.
That wasn't oppose.
Yes, he said, that's what we're doing, let them make up their mind. Period. That's what he basically said, because he's going based on the Taiwan Relations Act. He said, hey, if Taiwan wants to change their constitution, then so be it. I mean, but so be it. We can't oppose that, because we are basically encroaching on another country's sovereign rights to be what they want to be. Let me ask you a question.
All right.
You are an international person. You're from Great Britain. What is the British view on this? What is their view on the Taiwan Strait? Because America and Britain are allies. If there was a war in the Taiwan Strait, would Britain be involved in that?
I don't know about the current administration. The previous administration absolutely would have been. As much as I disapprove of Mr. Boris Johnson, he was a staunch supporter of Taiwan, and I believe he would have been there. I think if push came to shove, Rishi Sunak, the current leader, would also jump in that, because where America goes, we follow. And I don't mean that like we're some kind of pet dog, as much as it frequently comes across. We are the closest of allies, and we are the guardians of peace, freedom, justice, security. I would like to see more British warships going through the Taiwan Strait, and I would like to see that happen in conjunction with American, Canadian, Australian, Japanese ships. You know, look at the new alliance with the UK, US, and Australia. Hopefully something comes to fruition of that. And the UK plays a large part of that, as well as working with Japan to come up with new jet fighters. So whilst internally we may be struggling as a bit of a nation while we reinvent ourselves, I'd like to think and I'd like to hope we would be there for Taiwan.
Let me ask you another question. Do you think Britain should have its own Taiwan Relations Act?
Oh, good question. I don't think the law works in the same way as our country, but I would like to see something similar. And that does inspire me to maybe send some emails and dig into that a little bit. So let me get back to you in a few episodes. I'll see what I can find.
Okay. The reason why I asked that, because years ago, Canada wanted to do their own version of Taiwan Relations Act years ago, but hasn't gotten any momentum in their parliament up
there. Because it's run by Chinese
money. In Canada. There has been talks with Japan. Yep, a lot of Chinese money in Canada. Yep, Justin Trudeau. I heard a lot of things about him and his family, but I'm not going to get into that right now.
No, not a time and place.
Nope. In Japan, Taiwan for years has been pushing Japan to have a relevant law to the Taiwan Relations Act, like a Japanese version of that. But there's no political will to do that in Japan, because with the Taiwan Relations Act, what makes it special is that these United States sells defensive weapons to Taiwan, and I want to see this in our nation that will have the balls to do the same thing that America's doing.
That's where it comes, right? Where America goes, all follow.
Yeah, so if America's doing it, we all should do it. I mean, China can't sanction us all. China needs the war. China needs its economy is struggling. It needs everybody. So if Canada were to start selling weapons to Taiwan, which is not going to happen, of course, if Britain were to start to sell weapons to Taiwan, any other country start selling weapons to Taiwan, then Beijing is not going to attack Taiwan because the world has a consensus. Touch Taiwan, you go on down.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I think you're right. I know recently the UK changed its visa policy to limit Chinese visitors to the UK, shall we say, as the Chinese are very liberal with who gets a diplomatic passport, whereas the UK is very regimented. You know, it's like X amount of people every year. And so we've done that. And I think that's going to start angering China. And I think once that happens and there is a Chinese pushback, the consensus in the UK will be, because we are slightly arrogant, it'll be like, oh, how very dare you, sir? And that will harden more opinions against that, especially as it's becoming quite a bipartisan thing in America. And what you do, we follow. So we shall see. Watch this space, I guess. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening this week. Anything you'd like to end on, Mr. Yank?
Yes, Mr. Britt, is that this podcast is about freedom of speech. We say what we say with facts. That's how we operate here. We don't slander people. We don't do anything negative. We just speak the truth. And we are truth seekers. So if the truth hurts you, too bad. We're going to be who we are.
Lovely. All right. Thank you very much. And I hope you tune in next week. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.